I've got a submission here. I'll speak to the submission first, so, and then, which won't take long, and then I'll briefly go through the evidence for the 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
I think the submission's pretty self-evident. Yeah. In my evidence, paragraph 17, I address section 95A of the Act. Yes. Now, the amendments are going through Parliament at this moment. Yeah, this week. And then they will come back to Parliament in a couple of weeks, I think, for the third reading. No one's quite sure of the timetable. So this is a bit of a moving target, this. What I've done is, because we submitted to the select committee on this matter, but I'm in a part of an email chain that gets all the updates of what happens. So I got an update of the latest section 95A after the changes made by the select committee, suggested by the select committee there. And it's not definite that this will end up like this, but this is looking like it, how it will end up, section 95A. And there are many other changes to the Act, of course, which may impact on the district plan, but I can only concentrate really on this one. I've tried to spell it out here carefully. I've underlined the key parts. Yeah. It does take some careful reading, this. And I've taken out all the tracking changes to make it as clear as possible. And it is fairly clear now when you look at it. Yeah? It's a bit convoluted. But my reading, as I say in paragraph 3, my reading of the latest version, remembering that this may still change, is that under step 2, part 5b2, where it refers to discretionary activity and subdivision of land, discretionary subdivision meets the criteria set out there, such that it is precluded from going to step 3. The discretionary subdivision regime in the district plan means that no rural subdivision will be able to be publicly notified in the Queenstown Lakes District. Rural subdivision will only able to be publicly notified under special circumstances, step 4. Now, my understanding is, and this was, there was a discussion in a council hearing about this over in Queenstown, is that there's no specific criteria have been defined for special circumstances. That this section is seldom used, and so under this section, rural subdivision is seldom, if ever, likely to be publicly notified. It follows that under section 95A, rural subdivision will seldom, if ever, be able to be publicly notified in the Queenstown Lakes District. The only solution I can see for this is to make all rural subdivision non-complying in the district plan, per the Society's submission. Now, this rests on two things. First of all, I'm assuming that the hearings panel would not go along with a notion where no rural subdivision would ever be publicly notified. I mean, I have a major problem with that, and I'm assuming the hearings panel will have a major problem with that situation. And the second thing it hinges on is, of course, council still has complete power here, because under section 95D, council still has the right to decide whether the application will have great minor effects or greater than minor effects. I forget the exact reading. But the effects have to be significant such that it becomes publicly notified. So council still has that power, even if you make subdivision non-compliant. It doesn't mean it gets publicly notified. It means council has to go to section 95D and discuss it. As I said in paragraph 6, you could have a rule in the plan specifying that all subdivision becomes publicly notified, but that doesn't work with section 95A or section 95D. So I don't know if you want to ask me any questions on that particular part.
No.
You'll obviously be taking legal advice, I take it. So
yes.
On that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But
I should say, when the Select Committee report emerged, I looked up this provision and I came to the same conclusion.
Oh, oh thank goodness. Sometimes I think I'm going mad.
No, we understand the issue.
I think it may be a mistake, sir. That's the other option. So whether the government could be lobbied at this late stage, it could be a mistake. Anyway, and I'm just going to briefly go through the key points of the evidence. I know you like it to be summarised. I find that really difficult to do so. So I'm just going to hit key points of the evidence. I mean, this is extensive evidence. This I've got a hard copy here of all my district plan appendices, and you can see this has been quite a major undertaking to rewrite the plan. And with my appendices A to F, yeah. I haven't done this lightly, obviously. And I fully appreciate the Section 42A report, where it says that there's an issue of fairness if everybody doesn't understand where the society is coming from. So I have spelt out completely, fully, openly, this is what we are proposing, and put it down into these appendices so that everybody's specifically clear. And this evidence spells out the reason why we've made all those changes. And so there can be no argument that in terms of the other party's ability to understand where we're coming from. Specificity and fairness, yeah. So A to F illustrate the exact details of the outcome sought. It's important to note here that all of these issues have been addressed in earlier evidence. This simply spells out exactly the outcomes what we're talking about in a form that can be easily understood. I've changed a little bit of the wording, and the wording will continue to change as the ideas evolve, of course. But the original intent of our submissions is reflected in appendices A to F. In paragraph 20, I see considerable merit in strengthening the cumulative effects provisions. Now, I think there's a lot of common ground between the society and the council on this. Paragraph 22, the sustainable management chapter serves little purpose. I think council's got this completely right, that should be thrown out, yeah. But paragraph 23 said, crucially, the comment that the status quo is represented by the sustainable management chapter of the ODP, that does not set a strong and direct policy framework, is both completely wrong and misleading. And this is a key point here. And then in paragraph 24, the operative district plan is clear and focused in expressing the planning and resource management aspirations for the district. And I go through parts 4 and 5 to show how these fit together. It's not contained in the sustainable management chapter. That's a misunderstanding of the plan. And I say at the top of page 4 there, I can remember, until the district plan process started, I can remember no meaningful criticism of the effectiveness of these objectives, policies and assessment methods in the operative district plan. And then I'm moving on, chapter 29, I'm talking about the strategic direction chapter there. And it seems to me that the relevant objectives and policies are positioned in relevant chapters if the relevant objectives and policies are positioned in the relevant chapters per the operative district plan. This represents a more logical, cohesive and more friendly approach than moving out into a separate strategic direction chapter. I dispute that the strategic direction chapter is a meaningful tool for decision makers. And I go on in paragraphs 31, 32 to say that the planners or the reviews, it's a kind of a circular argument. You create the strategic directions chapter and then look for reasons to justify it. Yeah? It's a circular argument. Yeah? And paragraph 33, it's unclear how much extra additional weight will be given to the goals, objectives and policies. of the strategic direction chapter, paragraph 34, I think it will take several years for this to bed in, and it's much more efficient course of action is what I'm suggesting in appendices A to F. That's to retain the district plan, but make quite a few modifications to it. And I would point out that large chunks of the strategic directions chapter, I've moved to the introduction. Other parts, I've moved to other parts of the plan. Now, this works really well because you open the plan up in the introduction, and the introduction spells out what the plan is about. It explains sustainable management, and then it incorporates the goals that are currently in the strategic directions chapter. They spell out nicely what the plan is about and how it works. So that, for me, works as a really, really good structure, that introduction. You don't need the key parts of the plan that you're trying to understand. That's where you want it. You don't want it on chapter 4 in the strategic directions chapter. Now, and paragraph 37, and you know, I've been pondering this, and I would put to you, it's unlikely that any rural district plan provisions would have been more effective in controlling adverse effects on rural landscape than those in the operative district plan, in the face of the rampant development pressure experienced in the district, especially in the Wakatipu and Upper Clutha basins. And I talk about the changes in A to F that will improve the plan. There are improvements that can be made, and they're spelled out in A to F, such that the plan is even more effective, and it certainly needs to be more effective in controlling development at the moment. I note in paragraph 39 that Christchurch rejected the strategic development chapter. Paragraph 40, my reading of this strategic development chapter is that strategic direction chapter, sorry, is that while there are certainly some useful elements, it's been cobbled together without clear purpose. I see it as more logical to delete the entire chapter while moving those elements, quite a few, considerable number of elements of the chapter I suggest I retain, that have utility into appendices A to F. Paragraph 43, I see considerable merit. I think the plan's got it right to separate out the landscape chapter. That's a good idea. And I talk about the changes that are needed to consolidate the landscape types from 5 to 3. And again, I see considerable merit in the positive effects being put into one section that applies to all the landscape types. I see considerable merit in removing large areas of extraneous text, which is what I've done in A to F. But as paragraph 50 says, appendices A to F are based on text taken verbatim from the operative district plan. Much of this, the majority of this text is rolled over unchanged. I've incorporated amendments to the operative district plan text reflecting the changes suggested in this evidence, A to F. Many of these amendments are derived from changes, and I would say most of these amendments are derived from changes proposed by council in the proposed district plan, or they are derived from previous recent council officers' reports. And here I'm talking about things like the Glen Tarn issue, I've previously referred to a report that said that the primacy of landscape outcomes needs to be accentuated in the plan, and Glen Tarn was an issue identified by council officers, not by the society, though we identified it at the same time. Then I spell out how the plan would be. That I put a table in there to make it nice and clear how I would see the plan. The plan structure going together, consisted of appendices A to F. And then the detail is I'm showing how some of the goals are moved from the strategic direction chapter to the introduction in paragraph 60-62. You'll notice, I mean, paragraphs 66-67, 70, 72, 73, 74, things are being moved 76, I've said transfer, it's being moved. All these elements are being moved from what is being suggested. I'm not attacking much of what has been proposed by the council as part of this review of the plan. I'm saying it's in the wrong place, the structure's wrong. There's some good ideas there. I just think what I've done is a lot better. And so paragraphs 84 to 86, I talk about public access, climate change, these are issues well identified. In paragraph 88, I move up farming and recreation and visitor activity to a higher place in the hierarchy of activities, because it's ridiculous to have farming and recreation so low down. This is not an anti-farming rant. Yeah, now I can. The farming is one of the key activities, obviously, in a rural area. Paragraph 92, I talk about the finite capacity. That's an excellent idea that we should identify that the landscapes have a finite capacity. And that finite capacity is an example of many where council has identified a new policy that enhances the plan and the way that such a policy can be easily incorporated into the operative district plan. These things are matters of detail, but I've incorporated the successful applications will be exceptional cases. That is a key provision which should be retained in the plan. That's been incorporated into the appendices. I talk about the issue of open landscape character again. That's been incorporated into, that's a very important issue in the rural landscapes, particularly, all of the rural landscapes. That's what I'm agreeing with the landscape witnesses there. And I talk about the urban growth policies and say that they should be incorporated into the appendices A to F, the operative district plan. There's a whole swathe of things which I think the review has got right, and some fundamental things that it's got wrong. I talk about Glen Tarn, I won't go on about that again. Paragraphs 108 to 109, it's clear what I'm proposing there. Paragraph 112, wine grown on site, that's a good change. In the proposed district plan, I support that. The recreation activities where the number of people per group from 5 to 10 is moved from 5 to 10. Initially, we opposed this, and we had a bit of a discussion about it in committee. I think the plan's got it right. It should go to 10. So that's a change of opinion after thought by the society. We think that the district can handle groups of 10. And then in paragraphs 114 and 115, there are a couple of provisions there which I think are too onerously against the farmer. And I've suggested changes so that farmers may be able to get the odd farm building in the Wakatipu. And also, I'll talk about replacing farm buildings and making that easier. Perhaps 118 particularly, councils shall be satisfied that these adverse cumulative effects, again, that's incorporated into the plan as I see it, but it comes straight from, and it's very important, and the proposed district plan has this right, comes straight from the proposed district plan proposals being put forward, at least in the notified version. Yeah. Now, 126, I talk about, again, cumulative effects and a change that needs to be made. And that's a bit difficult because we haven't got that study for the Wakatipu Basin floor study yet. That's coming through later. I've also talked about an Upper Clutha floor study, and I'm still hoping that will eventuate because we have the same development pressures over here. So obviously it's difficult to put the exact wording of the cumulative effects policy there where we haven't seen the outcome yet. That's my understanding of the Wakatipu Basin study. I think that's enough. So I'm It's fairly self-evident, much of this, assuming you've taken the trouble to read it for hours.
Yes, that's part of our job.
Many happy hours.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was clear what you were, what you're seeking and why and how.
Thank you. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, and thank you for the updates where the society has changed its position. That's helpful too.
Well, you know, like the 5 to 10, that was a discussion, and you know, some of the people on the society's committee work with their guides, you know, and they said to me, well, 10's all right, you know, I see what you mean. Yeah, you know, this, you've got to take these things on board. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for the good. I'm sorry I was late. I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm.
Get back to Harlem.
Oh, okay, I was going to get a big office. I've been dashing around.
I haven't been in the hearing until the 8th of May.